Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baytown, say something about Clint Sterner.
Clint Sterner's my hero.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Baby, you're my greatest love for several reasons.
Landry Locker and John Lopez.
How cocky does he get about his fishing, by the way? The other day, we're sitting there in a meeting, and we're talking about potential listener gatherings and stuff. And John Lopez, just unsolicited, just sits there with a little smirk on his face. You know how John Lopez smiles. He's got a little smirk on his face. Face brightens up. Puts his arms across his chest and goes, "Oh, we'll fill that bitch up."
This is In the Loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
Drivers, start your engines!
Sports Radio 610.
Happy President's Day to all the people taking the day off and the people working but listening to us. It is In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. I'm Landry Locker. Usually by me is the OG, the man who's covered sports in this city for over three decades, John Lopez, but he is taking the day off. Instead, he is fishing, which means I got Baytown's finest, former NFL quarterback, former Arkansas Razorback, current quarterback coach, eater of enchilada casseroles on a Sunday, my man, Clint Sterner, in the building. Clint, how you living, dude?
Man, I'm doing good. That enchilada casserole went down right now.
How does it go down right? Because I feel like right can be wrong sometimes.
Easy. You know, sometimes when you get into casseroles and particularly Mexican food with that's could be a little suspect if the cook ain't right. But my gal's mom can put it down, man. So it went down really, really, really well, especially after a long week, end of last week, weekend. I needed something that would go down just right.
Okay. Well, it went down just right. Figgy Fig, he's not taking the day off either. He's keeping us on the air. Figgy Fig, how was your weekend? Your girl didn't get mad at you, did she?
No. It was good. We had a chill weekend. We barbecued yesterday, so.
Okay. What'd y'all go with?
Went with the chicken wings. We had some steak.
I wasn't going to guess.
Some asparagus.
I wasn't going to guess,
yeah, you
know, but that might have been my first guess.
You knew what it was.
That was quick.
Yeah, that was quick. That's about 3 minutes in. Big day, though. In the world of sports. This is a big day, Clint. And I got to tell you, John Lopez better be catching some nice fish. He better be catching at least 15 fish. This is a day we've been talking about for a long time. This is the day before Brian Gaine in the Texans front office is going to have to make one of the biggest decisions that we've known they were going to make for years now. Tomorrow, teams can start franchise tagging players, and they're going to have to decide whether or not J.D. Clowney is going to be a part of their brief future or their long-term future. Tomorrow is the day. It goes through March 13th. We're gonna find out a lot, Clint, as soon as we're on the air tomorrow. Who knows? It could happen tomorrow, or it could happen in early March.
Yeah, you know,
I'm a lover, man.
The interesting part of this for Gaine is it's a decision that it's not behind closed doors. I mean, usually they're making decisions. Their conversations are behind closed doors. This is one of those that everybody in America knows is coming around the corner. It's coming as soon as tomorrow. They may wait a couple of days, but I would think that this is a decision that they want to come out guns blazing and let everybody know which direction they're going to take immediately. It's one of those that's in the public eye because of the date, which is tomorrow.
And it's actually March 5th, not 13th, so there's a little shorter time. But we fully expect the franchise tag to be tagged, slapped on J.D. Clowney, and it's very ironic. I don't know if it's coincidence. I don't know what it is, but this morning, Peter King of NBC Sports puts out a story in which the following is said, quote, "The Texans are in no rush to sign J.D. Clowney to a long-term contract because he isn't, quote, the worker bee other members of that defense are. They may want to see how he performs after the franchise tag." This is Peter King, and when Peter King says something, he's not just shooting from the hip. He's not just throwing it on the wall to see if it sticks. Someone told him this, and he has reason to believe this. So the conspiracy theories are going crazy. Do the Texans really believe this? Is this some sort of negotiating plea? But we've seen this. We've heard about this from Clowney at South Carolina. And despite the fact anyone who watches the Texans has never looked at J.D. Clowney and said, you know, this guy doesn't look like he's working hard. But that reputation appears to followed him. And for whatever reason, somebody, maybe somebody, wants this to be public knowledge before they have to make a decision on him. Here's Steve Spurrier going back to his South Carolina days talking about J.D. Clowney, and this is where this whole reputation started.
When did you know Jadeveon wasn't going to play, and will he be available next week?
I don't want to get into all of that. I will just say he told me he couldn't play, that his ribs hurt, couldn't run, and said I can't play. I said, well, that's fine. You don't have to play. We'll move on. He may not be able to play next week. I don't know. But we're not going to worry about it. I can assure you that. If he wants to play, we'll welcome him to come play for the team if he wants to. But if he doesn't want to play, he doesn't have to play. Simple as that.
This was 5 years ago, Clint Sterner. And regardless of what we've seen from him as an NFL player, it seems like that seems like the cheap little dig that people go to. So as much as things change and as much as you watch things and see things, it sucks for J.D. Clowney, because I like Clowney, that this is still even being talked about.
Yeah, I mean, but it's the way of the world, man. When you're not a guy that brings your lunch pail every day, whether you're in the locker room with J.J. Watt or not, I mean, when you get the reputation, particularly on the defensive side of the football, or let's say in one of the more physical, more aggressive positions of the game. Let's say if you're not a quarterback or a receiver or a running back or a DB, those guys can get away with maybe not or maybe having a little bit of a reputation of not being a hard worker. But when you talk about these guys that play in the box on the defensive side of the football and in the trenches on the offensive side of the football, you better be a guy that not only is nasty and talented, but you better be a guy that comes to work every single day and brings that workmanlike mentality to the locker room, to the weight room, to the training room. If you're injured, wherever you're at, you better be that guy, because when it comes time for the next big contract, or in some guys' case, Landry, when it comes time to go, well, this guy's either getting cut or he's going to be my third stringer. This guy's either getting cut or he's going to be a backup and a special teams guy. When it comes down to that decision being made, you want there to be zero doubt in that decision maker's mind of whether you're going to work hard, or you're going to take care of your body, or you're going to do things right off the field. You want there to be zero doubt in that guy's mind. And there's zero doubt at this point in time that Jadeveon Clowney is being given that benefit of the doubt. He earned it right there with Spurrier, and it's followed him, and he's done nothing to this point to essentially squash that opinion of him.
That's Clint Sterner in for the fishing, John Lopez. Happy President's Day to all our listeners and to all the loopholes. If Brian Gain feels that way, and if Bill O'Brien feels that way, and we're going to hear from Brian Gain at 11 o'clock, we're going to hear what he actually thinks about J.D. Clowney, because we went back in the sound vault and we have it. But if you feel that way, if you feel like this guy isn't a hard worker, hasn't worked as hard as he needs to at the age of, he just turned 26 years old on Valentine's Day, then I think it makes too much sense to, because of his talent, franchise tag him. And then try to see if maybe that changes. But I think a talent like this, Clint, regardless of how you feel, regardless if you don't think he's a worker bee, whatever the hell that means, you got to bring him back next year, because the window is somewhat open for this Texans team. This is an 11-win team. So regardless of how you feel, if you don't want to invest long-term, you got to slap that tag on him. But if you slap that tag on him, we saw it with Le'Veon Bell last year, there's no guarantee that J.D. Clowney is going to show up and play ball for you next year.
Well, the good thing about that, what you just mentioned, Landry, to me, is that he does have to, it's in his best interest to do whatever it takes to overcome the reputation that precedes him. At the end of the day, Le'Veon Bell was a guy that the hay was in the barn, so to speak. He had already earned his money. He knew at some point in time he's going to get that big check, regardless of what happens, even to the extent of him holding out. I think Clowney's a guy that this year, I think you saw it, he's only missed one game over the last two seasons, so yep. So he's obviously progressing through this thing and becoming more professional and doing what he needs to do to overcome that reputation. But I think if they do franchise him, it's in his best interest for another year to go out there, one, stay healthy, but absolutely crush it, so that at this time next year, these same conversations aren't being had.
See, the most impressive thing about me with Clowney, and this is when I looked at this guy and said, you know what, this guy gets it. And I've always, I've never, you know, I'll watch every Texans game multiple times. I've never felt like his motor was in question. I've always felt like he's given his best. I think a lot of times he might make the wrong decision. I think a lot of times he reacts on instinct, and that's kind of a problem. But the most impressed that I was with J.D. Clowney was in 2017, when this was a 4-12 football team. J.J. Watt went down. Whitney Mercilus went down. Everybody got hurt. And you saw, the only thing you saw consistently on that defense all year when they had nothing to play for, when the season was shot, was you saw number 90 given maximum effort every single week. And I know that's the bare minimum. I know that's what you're supposed to do. But that's exactly what I saw. I saw J.D. Clowney giving it everything he had when this was a 4-12 team with nothing left to play for.
Well, it's easy, though. It's easy, though, Landry, when you're 4-12, you're the dude, everybody's hurt, all eyes are on you, to go out there and perform every day. I think the question for a guy like Clowney is, when everybody's healthy, when the team's winning 11, when the team's getting to the point to where they're losing in the first round of the playoffs, what does he bring to the table to get this team over the hump? And at the end of the day, that lack of the work ethic, elite work ethic that you're looking for is brought to light in that situation.
You don't think he has it?
No, I don't think he has it. I don't think he has. Again, when you couch him in franchising, when you couch him in the best players in the league, those guys, for the most part, are along the lines of J.J. Watt. They may not have the same personality of where everybody in Houston loves him and everybody in Texas loves him and he's raising all this money after a flood. They may not have that mentality, but when it comes to between the whistles, they all bring it. They go. I'm going to tell you, Junior Seau was the hardest working individual that I've ever been around, and that's why he was held in such high regard. He was obviously a great player, but the reason that coaches and owners and players loved Junior Seau was because he took the team to a whole different level on Monday through Saturday. He held guys accountable by his sense of urgency and by the way he showed up and the way he warmed up at practice. Landry, he would come out there. Quarterbacks and special teams go out first, usually at practice.
And he's out there running, lines or something.
He would do 100 crunches and get up and sprint 100 yards. He'd do 100 crunches in each end zone, literally for 10 or 15 minutes until the rest of the team came out there. And so when the rest of the team came out there, everybody was chasing Junior. Like, how can we catch up with that kind of mentality? And then when you put on shells, you know what shells mean? You're not full pads. You got a helmet and shells. It's almost like a walkthrough. He had the ability to take the walkthrough tempo to a whole nother level because he was so professional. And everybody around him chased him. And so the next thing you know, you're 10 minutes into practice and the tempo's at an all-time high on a Wednesday afternoon.
Makes a coach's job a lot easier.
Makes everybody's job around him a lot easier. And the coaches go from, hey, we don't have to motivate this crew. All we got to do is put a great practice plan together. We got to go out there, see what works. We got to work through this game plan, take out what doesn't work. Whatever does work, let's build upon that. Junior's going to have the tempo right. He's going to have their minds right when we walk out there. And so, I mean, not everybody's like that. Junior was elite in an elite world. But when you're talking about a franchise guy and paying a guy that kind of money, you want that guy, if it's going to be a no-brainer, you want that guy to have that kind of effect on your team. And I think Clowney's a great player. I just don't think that he raises the play of those around him on a daily basis the way a Junior Seau or a J.J. Watt, those types of guys do. And when you're talking about a long-term $100 million contract,
that's when it comes into question.
Coach, that's when it comes into question. That's when it's going to bite you in the tail or it's going to seal the deal. Okay. And in this case, it seems like, up to the day, now obviously no decisions have been made, but it seems like that reputation is going to hurt Clowney through this process.
We're going to get more into this Clowney thing as time goes on. We're going to hear from Texans GM Brian Gain. We're also going to hear from Clowney himself leading up to the end of the season. But coming up next, Clint Sterner says Deshaun Watson needs to be more like Ben Roethlisberger. Tell you what the hell he's talking about. It's Landry and Clint in for Lopez on Sports Radio 610.
Quarterback Deshaun Watson.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.